that the word hallelujah in the Old Testament, it means to exuberantly worship the Lord. And he's really smart, but he's from Eastern Kentucky, Appalachian Mountains. And so he goes, to translate for people like us, that hallelujah just means worship till you break something. And so Larry did. He worshiped till he broke something, a guitar string. You guys are doing worshiping so good today. It's let's keep going. Don't worry about preaching. Well, no, it's not quite that good. You were good, but not that good. I want to start off with something this morning that's a little more sober, and to say be serious for a minute, and then I want to get to hope, okay? Moving from a more sober to more hopeful, down to a little bit more exciting. But I want you to help me and be serious for a moment. Think of it soberly, because the Bible says you need to think about this soberly, okay? Number one is God has timing. Are you aware of that? Does anybody ever found that God's timing and my timing sometimes don't sync together? But what I find is I think that I'm out of step with God, that God isn't doing something right, that God's not on the right timing. And then when it actually syncs up, I will go, oh, that's amazing. I'm glad it worked like that. Have you found that out to be true? And I had another friend of mine that said this. I've remembered it for probably over 20, 25 years. And he goes, "There, if you think about a clock, it has three hands, the hour hand, the minute hand, the second hand." And he goes, God has a will. That's the hour hand. God's will is set and is strong, okay? Then God has ways. So you can have the will of God, you got to have the ways of God. You can't do the will of God outside the ways of God. So don't do something that is a devil methodology in order to get to God's purpose. Does that make sense? So God has a will, then God has ways, and then God has timing, right? And when the will of God, the ways of God, and the timing of God come together, then you will have the breakthrough or the miracle or the supernatural or whatever it is God's doing, whenever those three come together. And I believe that God has impeccable and perfect timing. When the Bible says, in the fullness of time Jesus was born, it means it was the exact perfect time and Jesus was born. Actually, in Hebrew, it's real picturesque. It goes, when time was pregnant to its fullest, Christ was birthed. That's good, isn't it? Okay, now here's the sober part. I'm really going off script. There's something else I wanted to preach this morning. And last night I had Molly and I, we did a walk, and we come to the end of the walk, and I go, I think this is the first time in maybe a month or a month and a half that we didn't have anything to do today. Have you ever had a day where you didn't have anything to do? That was a good day. And so yesterday, just a time before the Lord, and last night I just had about a couple of hours just praying over this service, and there was a scripture that just kept popping in my mind. And so I'm going to preach that scripture. And here's what I have found. When that happens, there are some people in the room that it was particularly for them. And there may be two or three people here. Here's what I'm going to ask. At the end of the service, if you're one of those people, come and let Molly and I pray for you. That'd be okay? Is that okay? If you go, hey, that's me, then go, okay, at the end of the service. And I want everybody else, if it's not you, shut your eyes at the end so you won't see them walk down so they won't be embarrassed. Is that okay? It may be in the time of preaching you go, I don't know that necessarily I'm going. This was specifically for me. I don't know about that. But what you just taught is very applicable to my life right now, and I would just like some extra prayer on it. Would that be okay? And so then you go ahead and come and let us pray for you about it, because I'm going to talk about timing, and I want us all to be at peace in the peace of the Lord. May his environment of peace be among us. But I'm not going to talk about God's timing. I'm going to talk about something a little bit strange. And I want to look at, the Bible actually says that the devil has timing. That there are times that the devil has particular timing, that he does particular things in order to have maximum effect. Do you believe that God does particular things at particular times and it will have maximum effect? We were having some fun when we did our Valentine's banquet, and people kind of talking about where they met, and Larry and Holly, I know their story just because we did a small group together and all like that, and Larry always likes to say he came in and Holly's mom actually sold Holly to him without it's a series of odd events. But Larry just came in, saw Holly's picture, speaks to her mom, who's that? Oh, that's my daughter. You think I could meet her? And the rest is history, okay? But we've talked about this, he and I, before as friends, he goes, it is a mystery in my mind and astounds me that on that day, if I'd have come in 5 minutes later, or her mom would have left 5 minutes earlier, something would have happened, that day would not have happened, but it happened. Come on, guys, and it happened in the timing of God. And aren't you glad that they got to know each other? She keeps him so on tack that he can get up and play the drums for us on a Sunday morning. It's a great day, right? Okay, but here's what I want you to know. That's because in the infinite wisdom of God, God goes, this will work. It will orchestrate in timing. Now, we're going to look today. There are times that the devil attacks you more than other times. Let me make a provocative statement. You were born into war if you became a Christian. And it doesn't have anything to do with you. Is that there is eternal evil that is attacking the things of God. And the moment you got born, you were born into it when you were born again. You cannot become a civilian. It is impossible to go AWOL in the army of God. From the moment you got saved, you became a target for the enemy. And he will push you till you run, chase you, catch you, run you down, and overcome you. It is for real. There are times that he all the time is, give us that passage of scripture page so we can have a real service, because we'll have a real Bible verse. Is that okay? We're going to have a real Bible verse. It's in 1 Peter. It's chapter 5, it's verse 8. This is for all believers, and here's what it says. You need to be aware at all times. That's what it says, be alert. It means you need to be aware at all times. You need to have your mind serious, be aware and serious-minded. You have an enemy, he is the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's a sobering scripture, isn't it? That everywhere, all the time. When does the devil act like a roaring lion? When? All the time. And Tom, when is he looking for someone to devour? All the time. I'm about to show you something. There is something in the Bible called a more opportune time. He goes, all the time I'm looking for someone to devour, all the time. But when he is surveying who can I attack, he goes, there are times that people are more vulnerable than other times, and I will attack them in the vulnerable time. Because there will be less resistance, and he has a greater chance of overcoming in these vulnerable times. So here's what we're going to do today. we're going to take the Bible and go, oh, this lets me discern when it is the devil attacks, so I can be aware of that. Okay? It is not to invoke fear, it is to invoke awareness. Does that make sense? Let me give us some hope, and we'll get more to end. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking what? What's he seeking? What's he looking for? Someone to, come on, what's that last word? Devour. Okay? Now, that's bad news. Turn to your neighbor and let them know. That's really bad news. Okay? He's not going to take a break. He's not taking Wednesdays off. The devil's not checking out Tuesday at 3:30 and going, whew, I'm tired of being the devil. I'm going to take a day off, and I think that I will seek to devour maybe again, oh, maybe about Thursday. I want you to know, never a day off. And if you've ever been up at night, you've ever had a what I call the 3 o'clock anxiety wake up, if you've ever had that wake up, you will know that the devil doesn't take a nap. Because at 3 o'clock, is it true, Kathy? At 3 o'clock in the morning, what will he be doing? Seeking whom he may devour. And it could be Kathy at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just saying, it could be. It could be. I'll prove it to you in the scripture. Okay? Now, if you give me $29.95 while you're still a little bit scared, we will get enough money that Molly and I can go on a trip to Dairy Queen. Okay. No. It is for real. Let me tell you something else. Jesus said the thief came to. What did he come to do? Anybody remember it? Say it loud. Say it loud, Steph. Kill, steal, and destroy. Does that sound lion-like to you? Seeking whom he may devour. How's he going to devour them? Stephanie told us, kill, steal, destroy. But the rest of John 10 says, the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. I came, speaking of Jesus, it's a red letter in your Bible, to give life and to give it more abundantly. Okay, that's good news. Then in Luke, Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So here's a reality. The enemy's eyes are searching the earth to see who he can destroy. Jesus' eyes are searching the earth to see who he can save. How many people like the second group of eyes better than the first? Okay? How many people know that the second group of eyes see more than the first group of eyes, and the second group of eyes has more power than the first group of eyes? Okay, so we got hope. We're going to have victory at the end, but I want you aware that the devil attacks regularly, consistently. He's not backing up. But there are some times that are more opportune than other times. There are some times that he goes, I'm going to attack with more intensity at this time because I have a greater chance of victory. Do you believe you were born into a war? Do I need to back up a little bit? We'll go all the way back to Genesis. We'll have some of our people, we got really good cooks here. They can go in the back, make lunch, and I'll make sure that you understand that in the Bible, you were born into a war. That war is going to have casualties. It's going to have deserters. It's going to have victories. It's going to have defeats. I don't want to discourage you, but I'm going to tell you something. You are going to have defeats in your spiritual life. What are you going to do with that? Okay? And there are some times, I'm being sober on purpose. We'll get better in a minute, maybe, for some of us. There are some people in this room that the Lord will put roadblocks to keep you from going down a road that is destructive because it's an opportune time. The devil's not the only one that knows it. God knows it. God goes, that one is under a a special attack right now, because in their life it's an opportune time. Let me bring grace, and he will put a roadblock up, and there are some people that will climb over the roadblock that they know is God, and they know God put the roadblock there. They'll climb over it anyway, and there will be destruction on the other side, because it's war. It really is war, okay? And so what we're going to do is go, oh, I discern that is a more opportune time. Let me be aware. Let me have my, it's not spidey senses, but we'll call them spiritual senses. Let me have my spiritual senses up. I know that this is what's happening, and I will use my spiritual weapons to win this war that will come out in victory in the natural realm. Okay, give me Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Last night, about 2 hours, I'm just waiting before the Lord. I'm praying about the sermon I was going to preach. It was amazing. You may never hear it. No, and the Lord just kept dropping this scripture in my mind. A couple of times it was the scripture. I mean, I know what that scripture says. A couple of times it was a scripture. A couple of times it was the verbiage. Okay, this scripture happens after Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Anybody remember reading that in the Bible? He's in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is baptized. What happened when Jesus was baptized? What's some phenomenon that happened around that? Do you remember? He comes up out of the water. The Holy Spirit comes like a dove. Do you remember what else? The voice of the Father, what does that voice say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to give you some encouragement. Write this down in your heart. If you hear nothing else I say, write this down. There are some times that the only voice you will hear is the devil. Can you be faithful when the only voice you hear is the devil? The last thing Jesus heard was, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then there were 40 days of demonic temptation. He never heard anything from the Father. He only heard what the devil was saying for 40 days. And some of us would go, "Oh, God doesn't love me anymore. What in the world will I do?" No, here's the question. In the wilderness will beg you answer this question. Will you be faithful when the only voice you hear is the devil? Interesting. And Jesus did. Okay? You remember that. He goes for 40 days. He's tempted of the devil. Then it's all over. In verse 13, here's what it says. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him. Somebody say amen. It's a good day when the devil takes a break, huh? He goes, Jesus goes through intense testing. At the end of the testing, the devil goes, "You got me for that round," and just backs off. That's a good day, huh? But then what does the next thing say? Left him what? Until an opportune time. Here's what it says. The devil left Jesus until he could find a more opportune time. I have a question. If the devil is looking for an opportune time to attack the Son of God like a roaring lion, kill, steal, destroy, if he's looking for an opportune time to attack the Son of God, what do you think about the person in front of you, behind you, beside you, or lives in your house? Do you think that the roaring lion is looking for an opportune time to attack your children and grandchildren? Do you believe that it could be true? Would it be smart for us to know what those opportune times are and how to act and react when we find there are opportune times? Wouldn't that be wise? So we'll just take this scripture. You already know the story. I'm not going to read all of it. I want you to see the opportune time, and I'm going to draw out five times. Here are five times that, how many farmers in the building? When is a good time to have offspring? When do cows have offspring? a cow does not just have a baby tomorrow so you can make more money. There's only an opportune time. And it is after a process, and then there's an opportunity. You can't just have harvest all you want. Jerry would be worn out if every month was a harvest month. He'd just be a little bit tired. He wouldn't mind because he'd be a lot richer, and he'd buy some more tractors, and he'd hire some more people. And every month, that'd be great. But Jerry doesn't get that. There are opportune times. And the devil goes, there is an opportune time to attack a strong Christian, that even a strong Christian will become vulnerable in an opportune time. Let me give you 5-0. And you see it. You read Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus in the wilderness, and you will see. Here's opportune time, number one, is after major victories is when the devil will attack. And if there were no such thing as the devil, if he wasn't even real, is a study I read one time, is Olympic champions, many of them, a high percentage of Olympic champions, 90 days after winning the Olympics, go through deep depression. Olympic champions, 90 days, within 90-day period, after winning the Olympics, many of them go into a deep depression. I happen to know someone who knew someone who talked about it in the hills of West Virginia, talked about that is more sure word prophecy than TikTok. But no, there was somebody that knew somebody that knew Mary Lou Retton. Mary Lou Retton is from West Virginia, and they said that this was true of her. I did talk about that study that I read. Somebody in the congregation came up and said, I know Mary Lou Retton, and that is true. She won the gold medal, she came home, and she went into a deep depression. Because since she was 5, she's been working at something, and now it's over, and on the other end of it, all of her emotions. Watch this. Jesus is baptized. The heavens open. The Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, angels sing. Everything's amazing. Then after the victory, he goes into the wilderness, and the devil goes, there's an opportune time. And I don't know about you. There are some people that are not like you, that might be your neighbors, that they go, I won a victory, and we can just get a little bit arrogant once we win a victory, can't we? And so what happens is, after a victory, the enemy will go, that's an opportune time. Okay? Number two is during weakness. Something's going on. Physically, emotionally, you are weak. The enemy does not have compassion. He goes, there's weakness, and he will attack in times of weakness. And if you read, if we were to read through Luke chapter 4, it goes 1 and 2, Jesus is tempted. It goes, and he went 40 days without eating. He was hungry, and the devil spoke. In times of weakness, the enemy will attack. Here's number three. Number three is important. I just want to encourage you with number three. Number three is at times right before breakthrough, right before breakthrough, the enemy will attack with everything he has to push you off of the breakthrough you're about to go through. If you'll read the Bible, and you'll read through the Old Testament, especially Judges and especially Kings, what you will find is, Kings, Chronicles, Judges, is the ites, the Perizzites and the Amorites and the Midianites and the Chick-fil-A-ites, or all the ites, okay? The ites will attack at harvest time. Anybody remember the story of Gideon in the Bible? And the Midianites attacked Gideon. When did they attack him? When did the Midianites attack Gideon? And it goes, in the time of harvest. Why? It was right before the breakthrough. go ahead and, what the enemy said, go ahead and let them plant it, let them take care of it, let them harvest it, and when it gets in the grain bin, we'll attack them when it's in the grain bin. We don't have to do any work. We just pick up the spoils right before the breakthrough. So here's my encouragement. If the enemy is harassing you, you might be one or two prayers from a breakthrough. You might be a hold on just for a little bit longer until there's a breakthrough. Is that, I'm not preaching out of your attention span. Am I? Are you still with me? Okay, then that's number three. And then here's number four. In times of rebellion, the enemy will attack. And you put Luke 22 and don't ever forget it. Here's what it says. Luke 22, 1 through 3, there's a guy by the name of Judas. Does anybody remember that guy in the Bible? And here's what it says. Here's what it says. He went to betray Jesus, and Satan entered him. Let me take it apart just a little bit. Judas isn't betraying just to betray. Here's what he's saying. There's something I want that's outside the will, ways, timing of God. And I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. In that moment of rebellion, it becomes a time that the enemy enters into the picture to bring death and destruction. Does that make some manner of sense? So one is in times of weakness. In times of weakness. That's three. One is after victory. And now we have times of weakness. And then we have right before the breakthrough. And then we have times of rebellion. And now I want to camp for 3 minutes, and I want to read a scripture to you. I want to encourage your heart. I want to read a scripture to you. How many people have ever won a spiritual battle? Go ahead and raise your hand. I went through a hard thing. I was able to make it through it. On the other side, there was victory. And I'm not taking any credit for the victory myself. I know that God gave me the victory because I was getting whipped till he showed up. One time some guys had jumped my little brother, and I saw some people beating up my little brother in an alley, and I ran to him, and I picked one of the kids up, and I threw him off of my brother. I got rid of the other one. Now, okay, don't look at me real bad. I was 7 and they were 5. No, my little brother really was. He's getting beat up, and I show up, right? And then after I get him away from, now my brother wants to get up and talk trash to him. And he's trying to get me in another fight. I never wanted to be in a fight at all. But here's the deal. It wasn't what he did, is that a big brother came along. Think about this. The enemy seeks whom he may devour, and whom he may devour is you. And you're the sheep that he separated from the fold, and he's got you all by yourself. And the 99 are over there, and you're here, and the enemy is destroying you. And while he is not focusing, here comes the great shepherd. And he has left the 99 to find the one that's you. And because Jesus shows up, you get a victory. That's amazing. Is anybody in the room ever had a spiritual victory? It was not because of me. It was because of him. I hang on and I win. I have a question. Do you think the devil is going to take that lying down? Do you think, Kathy, that because Jesus helps you and you overcome at a particular time, has it been your experience that the devil just left you alone the rest of your life? Oh, no. It doesn't make really good sense, does it? I overcame the victory, and now he's just left me alone. No, what's he going to do, according to what we're looking at in the Bible? He's going to look for an opportune time. And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, that the victory has been won and you won it. And here's my weapons. I'll talk about a couple of them in a minute. And I used them and I got the victory. Yay, I'll never have another problem. You'll hear that preached on TV, and I just want to help you with something. Turn the channel, because that's a lie. Huh? It is. I get a victory. Guess what I get? The enemy is looking for another opportune time. Is it not true? And let me share with you a scripture I hope will be insightful. I hope this scripture will be insightful. It's in Revelation. It's in chapter 12, and here's what it says. There is a bride, the church. It's a picture of an individual. It's a picture of a woman. The dragon does everything he can to overcome her. The great shepherd Jesus shows up. Come on, say amen. Jesus shows up, and she is strengthened by Jesus. She stands against the dragon, and she wins in the battle against the dragon because Jesus has empowered her. That's my testimony, guys. That's why I got a little bit of energy on it. And then the Bible says, so the devil, the dragon, attacks her offspring. Let me say it again. There are spiritual wars that you won that the enemy went after your offspring when you won the war. And here's what he knows. If he attacks the offspring, it breaks the heart of the generation before more than any other way when the offspring is defeated by what they won. Huh? So here's opportune times. He goes, number one, after great victory. Number two, times of weakness. Number three, right before breakthrough. Number four, if you are in rebellion or my mind is working on the rebellion I'm going to do, Satan has already entered the environment and he is controlling the environment in a time of rebellion. And then number five, when he sees the vulnerabilities of offspring. Has anybody ever found, I want to ask you to raise your hand, when my kids are going through tough spiritual things, it's harder on me than when I'm going through tough spiritual things. You found that to be true, haven't you? Come on, you found that to be true. And you know what? The enemy, according to the scripture, sees that and knows that, and those are moments of vulnerability. I'm going to pray in just a little bit, and what we're going to pray is, God, there are some of us that are in these vulnerable positions in our walk in life. We're going to pray that you would release your grace, your healing power, your presence, and deliver and strengthen those among us that are in the midst of these challenges. Is that okay? Do you think it'll do any good, or should we just... Maybe we should just head on over to a Mexican restaurant and forget about that part. Anita said she's not going to the Mexican restaurant with you guys. Okay. No. I'm going to give you five spiritual weapons and we're going to pray. I want to remind you of five spiritual weapons I'm extracting from Jesus being tempted. I want to remind you of these spiritual weapons and I want to encourage you to use them. You cannot win natural or spiritual wars by natural means. But the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that's good to the winning of spiritual battles, okay? Here's number one. It was Jesus' weapon. If Jesus said, I'm in a face-to-face confrontation with the power of darkness, there is a weapon that I use when I'm in that confrontation. Does anybody think that might be a good weapon? Use this weapon in this way at this time. Number one is the Word of God. What Jesus said is it is written. The devil said, and then Jesus said, it is written. Every time the devil says something in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, it is written. Okay? So number one, weapon number one, it is written, is the Word of God. Weapon number two. is the name of Jesus. And Molly and I like to pray over our kids. When we pray over our kids, we quote scripture when we pray over our kids, and we make our prayer in the mighty, powerful, strong name of Jesus. We like to pray over those that we serve with, leaders in this house, and we like to pray over people that meet with us and worship on Sunday morning. When we do that together at our home, what we do is we pray the Word of God, and we make our prayer in the powerful, exalted name of Jesus. Now that does two things. It evokes the grace of God, because I'm just telling God what God said and saying, here's what you said. If my dad ever told us, six kids, well, we'll go to Dairy Queen after a while. Guess what he heard until we made it to the Dairy Queen? What my dad heard was, you said, because we knew our dad wouldn't lie to us. Hey, Dad, you said Dairy Queen. Hey, Dad, you said Dairy Queen. Hey, Dad, Dairy Queen, you said. You remember? You said. When I'm taking the Bible, I'm saying, hey, Dad, you remember? You said. And I'm saying, you said in the name of your son. Those two weapons will last, be effective, be forceful, be victorious until Jesus comes back. The Word of God, the name of Jesus. Number three is the blood of Jesus. The Word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:10 says, they, the saints, overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:10. If you want a scripture, the Word of God, the name of Jesus, Luke 10, the disciples came back and said, even demons are subject to us in your name. Number four, Word of God, name of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Number four is worship. Psalm 149. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth, two-edged sword in your hand, binding kings with chains, nobles with fetters of iron. So I go, oh, I'm in a weak place. And now I'm finding myself being attacked by the kingdom of darkness. Let me worship. When I worship, that becomes a spiritual weapon. Okay, number five. Give an example and we're going to do it. Number five is prayer. You could write Luke 22 again. There's every mom in the room. We'll know this is true. Jesus looked at Peter and he goes, hey, Pete. That was his nickname for Pete. No, it was Rock, wasn't it? Hey, Rocky. Jesus called Peter Rocky. Hey, Rocky, come here for a minute, right? And he goes, I just got some insight from the eternal realm. There's some information that I have that I want you to know. And here's what he said. Satan has desired to totally destroy you. And Pete goes, it's not going to happen. And Jesus goes, no, let me tell you something. He goes, before it's morning, it's evening when Jesus tells him this. He goes, before it's morning, you're going to deny me three times. And Pete goes, no way, I'd never deny you. You and me forever. If you go, I go. I'll die with you, Jesus, but I'll never deny you. Yeah, I get your energy. I believe your passion. But before the cock crows, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me. Pete goes, no way. Soldiers come. They come to take Jesus. Peter pulls out his pocket knife, cut one of the guy's ears off. Me and Jesus. He's willing to die for Jesus. You guys remember that story? Jesus put the ear back on, saved Peter's life. That was capital offense. Peter would have died that night by the hand of the soldiers for attacking another soldier. Jesus did away with the evidence by healing the guy's ear. What are you talking about? Your guy's got an ear. How could he have cut it off? There it is. Then Jesus goes this. Satan has desired to destroy you. Now listen. But I have prayed for you. When you are restored, strengthen the brother. Look what Jesus has said. I believe, here's what Jesus said. I believe in my prayer for you more than I believe in the devil's attack against you. Come on. Here's what Jesus said. He's looking for an opportune time. If he finds it, he'll destroy you. But what I've done is pray for you. Because I've prayed for you, you're going to be restored. When you're restored, strengthen the brother. Name of God, the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, worship and prayer become invincible weapons in your hand that overcome the enemy when he comes at opportune times. Amen. You got the notes? You can go on YouTube after Larry does his magician work. That's not good. Is it magic? I was going to say magic. He doesn't do magic. He does the Lord's work. But after you go on YouTube, there is a reason that I want you to be able to have this in your hand, is because the enemy is a roaring lion. He will seek whom he may devour. He will come at an opportune time. When that happens, I want us to be aware, to be effective, to overcome, get the victory, and give God the glory. Is that good? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for just a minute, and then the worship team's going to come. Molly will come down here, and if you go, I just like a little extra prayer, we'll be here for that. But here's what I want you to do with me. If you know, we're going to start off like this. I know someone that the enemy is seeing an opportune time, and he is attacking them. Is somebody that you know. I'm not going to ask us to pray out loud. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I would like to ask you, you pray for your loved one, your friend, your neighbor. Nobody else is doing it. We might as well do it, right? We're going to pray for them, and we're praying, God, would you release the name of Jesus over them? Would you release the power of his blood? Would you cause the power of his word to break the power and the deception that they're under? Would you cause freedom to come to them? Lord, would you strengthen them by the word and by the spirit that they will make it through this time where the enemy is? Would you come and would you seek and would you save that which is lost in the midst of the challenge they're in? Could we do that? And I just, we're going to bow and pray just for a couple of minutes. And you know somebody, and would you just pray for them right now? I pray for my brother, my sister. Lord, I pray for my child, my grandchild, my neighbor. Lord, they're not bad. They're not evil. It's just that it's an opportune time. The enemy, like a roaring lion out of his nature, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Right now, we lift up your name over them. We pray the power of your word toward them. We ask that you would bring strength to them. Lord, you would create a way where there is no way, that you would open doors of opportunity, that you would break the power that's greater than they are, that's overcoming them. Father, I pray for my friend under the sound of my voice this morning, to the place where this word will go. People are just in times of weakness. They need your strength poured out. Father, I ask that you would give wisdom to turn from rebellion. Lord, we believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven to this earth. He died on the cross. He took our sin. He gave us his righteousness. Buried, was resurrected, ascended on high, and from that high place evokes his power into this room right now. By the redemptive power of that blood, we make appeal that you would break the power of those held. Lord, we pray your grace and peace to them, your strength over them, for those places where we won victories, that the next generation has suffered the anger of darkness. We pray blessing over them. Lord, I pray for the one or two that you're specifically speaking to this morning, that there's portions of what we say is touching directly and specifically because you designed it in your timing, that you would release the particular grace that would be a blessing to them in this place. We make our prayer in the powerful, majestic, elevated, and glorious name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. If y'all want to stand, our worship team will come.